In realms of cardboard where strategy takes flight, a tapestry of games each vying for the light. Yet amid this vast landscape, confusion may brew. Enter the lists, the guides, the trusted gateway crew. Oh, why do these rankings hold such crucial sway? In the realm of board games, let me convey. They're a compass, a guide through the dents, navigating choices, a welcome defense. For newcomers lost in the board gaming sea, top 10 lists whisper here. Oh, ooh, what?
Take two.
Oh, that shouldn't be too hard to read.
Oh, you're doing so
well.
Can you
insert like English? Do you speak it?
let me just do those last two lines.
Yeah, go
for newcomers lost in the board gaming sea, top 10 lists whisper, here's where to be.
That's what you stopped up on.
Well, I thought there was some pirate lingo coming my way. I don't know. Trends evolve and new titles ascend. A shifting landscape where preferences blend. Top 10 boards unravel the game world's thread, highlighting the gems from where joy can be bred. Innovation blooms in the industry's heart. Top 10 lists showcase the true work of art. From worker placement to tales untold, they spotlight the stories and strategies to unfold. Time is a river, swift in its course. Top 10 archives the classics, an unwavering force. Preserving the legends, the pillars that stand, guiding the curious with a knowledgeable hand. For solo adventurers seeking a quest, top 10 lists offer options that pass the test. From solo campaigns to puzzling delight, they spotlight the games for a solitary night. Social butterflies flocking together, top 10 board games weave bonds that last forever. With laughter and strategy around the table we bind, each title a chapter in memories entwined. Complexity dances with simplicity's grace, top 10 lists ensure there's a game for each pace. For thinkers and dreamers, the novice or sage, they unveil the spectrum of vibrant game stage. Budgets may tighten, choices must be keen. Top 10 lists stretch your gambling budget's sheen. With value and joy in each numbered slot, they guide your acquisitions, enriching your lot. Diversity blooms, a garden so vast, top 10 lists embrace cultures from first to the last. From east to west, they bridge the divide, celebrating inclusivity with each game they guide. So, embrace the lists, let them be your guide. Through the world of board games, let your passion abide. For in the top 10's wisdom, joy finds its key, unlocking the magic of play for you and me.
Oh, just spectacular work there, Matt. Well done, well done.
That was
there,
my Ralph.
Thank you so much for this. Wow. Yeah. All right, hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode number 49 of the Board Game Gateway Podcast. My name is Zaniba, and I'm your host for this evening's special episode. Sitting around the table, we have a full assortment of hosts for your delectable pleasure, I guess you could say. We have on my right, Mr. Blake.
Hello.
We have Mr. Matt next to him.
Yo.
On my left, we have Mr. Ralph. Hi. And at the end is Mr. Damien.
Hello.
We are your Board Game Gateway crew, and we are your entryway into the world of board gaming, tabletop gaming, and fun times. And we're in the Christmas season now. We're coming to the end of season two. And that means that it's time to do some specials. And we did it last year and we're going to do it again. It's time for the top 10s. I mean, pretty exciting. I mean, it's time. This one is our personal top 10s. We'll see if things have changed, if they have not changed. But also, next week, we are going to be doing our Board Game Gateway's top 10 gateway games. So that's where we all collectively and totally unbiasedly, or however you say that, we come up with our top 10 games as a group. So we're looking forward to showing you that next week.
I am accepting bribes, everyone.
Well, any publishers want to be on that list? You know, like,
stacks of hundreds in unmarked bills, please.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly right. But look, we could preamble about this all night, but you know why we're here. We know why we're here. It's to get through our top 10 list. This is basically our personal tastes. We're just going to give you a bit of a, you know, why we like the games, maybe a little bit of banter about them, and we'll move through them as fast as we possibly can. But should we get into it?
Yes.
Let's do it. Right.
I'm very curious because we did this like a year ago.
We did.
So
this.
Like, it'll be cool to see how our tastes change as well.
They have. Yeah. So let's see how they change here. We'll start at number 10. We're all good top 10 lists start right at the bottom and work our way to the top. Starting with number 10, we're going to start with Mr. Blake. We're going to go to you for your number 10 game for 2023.
Kick us off. Well, I think this one's dropped a couple of ranks on my list, but mainly just because I don't think I've played it in the past 12 months, but it still holds a dear place in my heart. Korra, Rise of an Empire.
Korra, Rise of an Empire.
Look, this is one of those games that's on the smaller side. You know, plays about just over an hour to an hour and a half. But I think that's why I like it. You can pump out a couple of games in the time that you would normally play some of your bigger board games, but it offers that crunch that some of those bigger board games have. I love the theme, and yeah, this is just always one of my favorites. I love when this comes to the table.
Yeah, that was your number 4 game last year. I do really like Korra. Korra is one of those games that it's almost like it feels like a spreadsheet, but not a spreadsheet. Mm. But there's something about, like, I love putting together a shit hot spreadsheet. I mean, it's just it's what you do. You know, I really do enjoy it. So yeah, that's not a bad pick. Down 6 spots this year. Was your number 4? Now your number 10, but that's okay. All right, Matt, we're gonna move to you for your number 10 game of 2023.
No idea if this was on my list last year. It probably was, depending on when we played it. But Galaxy Trucker is your number 10 for me.
It was not.
Wasn't it?
No, it wasn't in your top 10 last year.
Well, I mean, as soon as we played it here, I went and bought myself a copy. So yeah, if that was in the last 12 months, that's probably why.
I did the same thing. I played it at Ralph's. I bought a copy the following day.
Yeah.
It's one of those so games. Good.
Should have sold you my copy.
Galaxy Trucker is, it's the same thing. Like, it was in my top 10 last year.
It's just chaos. It's just like structured chaos.
Yeah.
Like, it's
good. Yeah. I love it for that whole, it's just, you can't take it too seriously.
No.
But that's part of the charm of it. Like, the fact that you're just like rushing to put your spaceship together and then you just hope that you've covered all of your bases. And sure enough, an asteroid hits you from behind and then your core all blows up. You're like, well, I should have put more shields in the rear, I guess.
It's interesting because it's kind of like the opposite of a spreadsheet because all your data scrambled. It's like you've got to work it out.
Yeah, that's right. I do appreciate the real-time element of it at the start, though, as well, where it's like you're all just clamoring for like tiles in the center. Just like, and then you just see someone pull out the thing that you want. And you're just like, please leave it there. Please leave it there. Please
don't
leave
it there.
Don't
touch it.
And they don't leave it there. Of course they don't. All right, we're gonna continue around the table with my number 10. We're going to come around this way as we go. And this year, I've got a new addition to my top 10. It's one of the new games that has made it. And I'm going to be putting Hegemony Lead Your Class to Victories going into my number 10 spot. This is a game we've played a couple of times now. And it is a big, heavy Euro-style political simulator. But it is one of those games that just plays very uniquely. It's a very unique game, the way that everyone takes on a different faction. Blake, you've played it as well, you know, where you play capitalist workers, the state, and the middle class, and you're just trying to make money by capitalizing on, you know, what your class of people is really good at. And I really, really, really dig it. I think
I love this game. I only got to play roughly maybe half of the game in the time that we had. I think this definitely has top 10 potential for myself, but just without having that full play, I couldn't put it on my list.
Yeah, look, it's just one of those games that, you know, it takes a long time to set up because it's so asymmetric, but, and also that makes the teach really long, but this is doing something which I've not had done before, and I just really, really enjoy it. I think it's so new to my list, which is Hegemony Lead Your Class to Victory in number 10. All right, we'll keep moving around the table now. Mr. Ralph, to you for your number 10 pick, please.
So I love games with a good backstabbing. This game has a good front stabbing. It is Spartacus, Treachery, Blood of Sand, Blood and Sand, I think. Just gladiator battles, but like you can just make a deal with someone and just not honor it straight out of the gates. It's fantastic. There's no consequences for that.
A good old front stabbing. It's a front stabbing right there.
So literally, like, I remember, like, the recent game we've had, like, I looked at four other people around the table and needed their help to do something to stab this one player, and everyone just like, yeah, sure, you can do that. Like, sweet. So yeah, just the scale of that game and just the joy it brings everyone that plays it. Even when you're getting stabbed, like, you can just stab someone back. It's great.
I'm really upset. I forgot about that game. That absolutely would have made my list.
Yeah, I played it many years ago a lot and just played it once in the last year, and it was fantastic. I can't wait to play that one again.
So. I think it's part of the reason of, like, not playing as like playing as many games as we do. Sometimes you just forget about some of the ones, especially early in the year. So.
Yeah, I think you won that game too, Blake. It was pretty awesome.
I loved it.
There were some great moments in that that I've never seen before. Played a lot of games of it, and there were still new moments that came out of it, which is really cool. Yeah, so that was my number
10. Alrighty, number 10 for you, Mr. Damien, to round us out for the top 10 for this year.
Yeah, this is the first time I've done a list for this podcast, but I usually kind of maintain a list sort of among mates. Mm-hmm. This game is an old game, but it is new to my top 10, and that is Bus.
Oh, ooh, yes. Yes.
Sure.
That didn't deserve that laugh.
Come on, that was good.
I don't know if it deserved that laugh, but I'll give it to you.
Because you've become a dad in the last couple of months, haven't you?
Yeah.
Choo-choo.
Honestly, do me a favor. Next time you come over, do not educate my kids.
Sure thing. That's fair call. Fair call.
No, Bus is a splatter game. It is, I'm pretty sure it was their first game and arguably one of the first worker placement games. The goal of the game is you are trying to deliver workers either to work, the pub, or back home. The couple of rubs in this game are you get a fixed number of turns. Everyone gets 20 turns, and the game keeps going until someone basically exhausts all their turns. So you have this really interesting thing where you're trying to make sure that you're pacing each other effectively, but keeping an eye on when someone's going to go out and try and actually push for the game. There are some really wild mechanics on turn order and such, which you're forever looking at. And then finally, the other thing as well is that in a given round, you can basically burn a turn to kind of stop time. The entire table out and say, I may stop time. And what that does is it means that if people were going to go to a certain location, it's just going to change it. And it means they're going to go to a different location. But you get to make that choice after everyone else has taken their turns and placing things out. So there is this whole sort of mechanic where you're basically just being a complete douchebag to other people.
There's good tension in that game.
Oh, it's just really,
it is one of those games that it properly, when we played it, like, I remember the moment where you said, oh, you have 20 actions. You have 20 workers. That's all you have. But what he didn't mention is that if you really wanted to, you can burn 8 of your 20 workers in round one.
Yeah.
You can just burn and just go, I can just, so long as there is action spaces available, I can just keep putting workers out and saying, because you do all of your worker placement first and then you activate all of them starting from the top going down. So I only have 20 workers for the whole game. And the moment that we played 4 of them in the round one, we went, we're already 20% of the way finished this game, and I've done nothing.
Oh, no.
Sitting there going, oh my God, you don't get anything back. And then the moment that you threaten stopping time, everyone just watches you put the worker on the time machine, which is the most ridiculous mechanic for this game about delivering people in a bus. But we all collectively went, oh, no. So good.
Hang on. So my choo-choo was ridiculous, but a bus that can stop time. You're like, you know what?
The players can stop time.
Yeah. I mean, obviously.
Now the players can also sit there and say choo choo while they're stopping time.
I 100% will.
I don't think choo choo was ridiculous.
It was funny. It was good. It was good.
You know what? You know, we are one step away from this where we have EV buses now that can basically just make any sound they want.
Yeah, that's
true. I'm waiting for the day for a bus to stop and just go choo choo.
In Ralph's voice. It's actually Ralph's voice over.
Complete sidestep from our top 10 list, but we do have replacement buses for trains here in Sydney, and they do have choo choo. I'm a train on the front. Yeah, sometimes. Choo-choo, I'm a train for the replacement buses. That has happened before. All right, number 10, that was Bus. Damien, we're going to start with you, and we're going to work our way back, starting with your number 9. Let's go for it.
Number nine, again, another old game. This one is pretty much baked into my top 10, I think. El Grande. The best area control game I have ever played, bar none. Still remains that way. It is a zero combat area control game, but you spend the entire time basically moving units around the board, trying to have majority in certain areas. And it's all about positioning and making sure that when you score, you have the majority and you can score effectively. But it's also about just screwing other people over as well.
It does have a good auction phase in it, which then, like, it does have an auction phase.
It does, yeah. So basically, you put out a bidding card and the highest goes first, but the lowest gets more workers to work with. So,
there's a bit of this tug of war of, like, do I want to put a lot of workers out just to put a... Or do I want first priority of being able to choose where the hell this thing goes that we can actually fight over?
And then there's this dumb thing where there's this tower that randomly you can just announce, I'm going to put 2 workers in this tower, or I'm going to put however many workers in this tower. And it's dumb, but the tower gets revealed 3 times throughout the whole game. 2 minutes after you putting your own workers in there, you forget how many workers are in that tower. And again, that also has an area majority element as well. So,
cool.
Great game. Fantastic game.
It is a really good game. Fun game.
This is a top 10 games of Ralph has to play list.
Yeah. Right, well, let's find out a game that you have played, Ralph, and let's go to your number 9.
So this is a game that none of you 4 boys have played before, It's a game I'm pretty sure is going to stay in my top 10, and everyone who's played it can understand why it's there, and that is Pandemic Legacy Season 1. And the reason it's pretty much going to stay there. Can't wait to play it through again one day. the storyline that integrates with the game. Pandemic's already a pretty good game for gateway gamers in particular. It might overstay its welcome for seasoned gamers, but definitely don't let that make you hesitate. Definitely dive into Season 1.
We opened the box and played the base game of Pandemic.
Yeah.
But we never actually played the Legacy, which is 10 separate games or whatever.
It's kind of like the equivalent of watching a movie trailer and saying you watched the movie.
Yeah, pretty much.
But granted, nowadays movie trailers
I've then played the game.
Yeah. Nowadays movie trailers are the movie. Yeah. But before, like 10 years ago, you wouldn't know what happened in the movie.
As soon as you started that sentence with, I'm going to choose a game that none of you have played, it's going to be Pandemic. Oh God, we're getting called out here. Oh my God.
Yep.
Speaking of front stabbing, whoa, I felt that.
You felt that front stab, gentle nudge.
All right. I'm going to move on to my number 9 now. My number 9 is another game that has entered my top 10 for the first time because I played it in the past 12 months. But in that 12 months, I have played it quite a few times, both in person and digitally, more digitally than in person. Damien introduced me to the game of Tigris and Euphrates, coming in at number 9.
This cracker
is a great tile laying game where we are basically fighting for control of the board by... It's a very abstract game of just placing tiles on the board, but doing it in a way to get you victory points and placing your leaders in areas that you're going to be fighting over and then trying to... It almost feels like a weird kind of checkers in the way that the board is all abstracts. Like we're actually fighting over cities that we create, but then it's a great game. It's such a really simple game, an easy game to understand. Mm. What I love about it though is that the way that the game works and the way that you score is, Damien, correct me if I'm wrong, you have all of these different colored cubes, 4 of them, I believe. And you score the lowest value of cube. So if I had 5 red, 5 green, 5 blue, and 2 black, my score is actually 2.
Yep.
Because that's right. It means that you can't just fight over one color for the entirety of the game. You have to diversify. But it also means that if I see that Damien is just being very strong in red, I can choke him out of different colors in the rest of the game because I want him to only score red, because then that means I know he's not scoring a lot on the other things. It's really great. It's a really fun game. Damien, you love it as well.
I absolutely love the game. And the one thing I'll add for listeners and for everyone here who hasn't played it, it's got some of the best character tokens, especially in the older edition. You've got lions, you got bulls, you got archers, and you have pots. That's right, pots.
It's kind of like the Monopoly things.
Do they have cake?
No cake. But you know what? There might be cake inside the pots.
Yeah, there could be. Why not? Anyway, so that's my number nine, which is Tigris and Euphrates. Matt, we're going to move to you for your number nine.
I'm pretty sure this is going to be on a couple of lists tonight. Tonight's is one that you've only introduced me to this year as well, is Hansa Teutonica.
Nice. Good game.
I think it's the first game I've played as a new game that I came back to three or four times at any opportunity I could. I've loved it.
Yeah.
It's the right balance of strategy, of taking the right, you know, the right moment at the right time for you, and also trying to screw everyone else out of exactly where they want to go without being overly strategic that I have no idea what everyone else is doing.
Just naturally get in the way.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I can still kind of see what everyone else is doing in that one, so that's why it's on my list.
Yeah, it's a great, it's the sort of game where someone does something, why'd you do that? I felt like
it's kind of like it's the next step up to Ticket to Ride for me. Mm-hmm. Like it's just got that same feeling,
yeah,
but more strategic, like, yeah, strategy behind it.
It's one of those games that I didn't take off straight away with. I definitely had my problems with it first up, but the more I played it, the more it grew on me, and it's definitely way better in person.
My only problem as being colorblind, it's the colors and the board. That's the only thing, but the game is fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a really good game, and the reason why I kept trying to push it on you guys is I'm like, trust me, we get a couple of plays in this, and you will find the abstract will work exactly how you want.
I think my list overall focuses mostly on the memories and the good times of the game, rather than how good the game is on its own, how much it stands up. You know, yeah.
I think that's the most important thing. Yeah. Like I think you can play a game which is average, but if you play it with the right group of people, then it's memorable.
Yeah, for sure.
Then absolutely. 100%. It is a good game.
Yeah.
100%. All right. Well, that's look, I'm surprised to see it there, but also very happy to see it there, Matt. That's a good pick for your number.
I'm surprised.
I just forgot that you liked the game. Can a man not be
your absolute dickhead? Oh,
okay. Matt, he's calling you dumb.
That's a game for smart people.
Wait till he sees what's dropped off. Yeah.
All right, Blake, we're going to move to you to round out our number nine.
Well, I think that's a good sentiment to tee up my next pick.
Game for dumb people.
Well, no.
Matt's going to love this one.
Definitely not. No. I was more referring to
the memories
that a game creates and the moments in the game. And being more of a big box gamer myself, this being on the smaller side, I'm surprised it made it into my top 10, but I had to put this in there somewhere. It's Decrypto.
Yep.
I love this game. It just creates so many moments between the two teams, and it's fantastic. The wordplay, everything about this game, I love it. I think it creates so much between the people that play it.
Yeah, this is one of those games that we went through a bit of a period where I forgot how much I loved it, and then we got it out at GooberCon, and it literally was the game we played all day, and it was literally that game that I went, that's a reason why I really love, why I don't play this game more often.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every time we've gotten it out, we're in tears of laughter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got it out recently for a couple that came over. They're not gamers, but they were like, oh, you have so many games. Let's try something out. I'm like, cool, let's play Decrypto. And they weren't vibing it. Like, and we got two rounds in. I'm like, stay with it. Stay with it. And then by the end of it, they had a ball. They can't wait to play it again.
Yeah.
Love that. Great, great pick. All right. So just as a quick aside, if you are watching this and you're wondering, oh, they're not going into a lot, I want to learn more about these games, you probably have noticed already that in this episode, or if you haven't checked the timestamps, but we will be putting links to episodes which we have talked about these games. Yeah, rather than us explaining them and dragging out this podcast here, you can go and check our other podcast episodes for games that we have talked about. So Decrypto, we have our massive section that we've talked about, as well as all these other games that you can that you see here. All right, we're going to go now into number 8. All right, Blake, we're going to start with you again. We're just going to keep going back and forth, snake style, I reckon. So we're going to do that.
So number 8, going back to the big box games, game that I played recently, not too long ago, but Dune Imperium. It was exactly my style of game. Look, I'm not huge on worker placement normally, but this game did it for me. It seemed to have the right balance between that worker placement and that Euro style. I have yet to play it with the expansion, which I hear makes it a lot better, which I am very... I did have my problems with the game, but the game, it was a standout for me. I went away loving this game.
Yeah, I do really like Dune Imperium. I've played it. I played it in person for the first time this year when we did our round table and things like that. But when I've played it online a few times, I've talked about this before in the podcast, that the first couple of times I played this game, I didn't get it. But I kept coming back and playing it for some reason. Mm. I'm like, I don't know if I like this, but I kept coming back. And then about three or four times I realized, oh, no, I get it's not the game, it's me, and I've been approaching the game wrong. From what I was, sorry, not approaching wrong, but I was wanting something that the game wasn't trying to offer me. Mm. But once I opened up to what the game was, all of a sudden it was like, oh, I get how I've been going wrong about this. Mm. I think I said it before, I wanted more deck building than it was offering. But when I realized it's not about the deck building, it's about optimization of a small set of cards, then I was like, oh, we're all
good. It's a very slow deck builder, worker placement thing. I've played a lot of this game in person, and every game has been really tight. It's a fantastic resource management game.
Yeah, it is. All right, that is Dune Imperium. Matt, we're going to come to you now for number eight.
On eighth in my list is Turing Machine.
Oh.
Another one that popped up this year and instantly fell in love with for its complexity and also its, like it was just fun straight out of the box, everything. I mean, I suppose I vibed it straight away as a bit of a puzzle game as well. I know that in our discussions, not everyone does with this game, but I thought it was superb. The cracking the code was really, really cool.
Yeah, I really do enjoy Turing Machine. It's one of those games that provides a very unique puzzle to solve. The way that you go about it, it does play in a really unique way because it's all simultaneous play.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the way that it kind of, you know, the puzzle system is, you know, unlike anything that I've seen. It can, as you said, Matt, it can throw people off. Like, I thought this game would vibe with my dad and he detested it. He really just couldn't get his head around the puzzle and it made him feel stupid and he just didn't really like it for it. And I felt really bad.
I had that vibe the first time I played it, I'll be honest, but I did enjoy it after.
Yeah, I really do love the fact as well that the company does have a daily puzzle that you can go and on their website and actually do a daily solo puzzle, and they will give you the cards that you need to pull out and you can do that. So that's pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah, so I do respect it.
I haven't tried it on Board Game Arena yet. I know it's on there.
No, I do need to try it on Board Game Arena as well. I'm glad that they're bringing a lot more stuff.
They've brought a lot of good games lately.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff going on there. Right, so that's Matt's number eight, which is Turing Machine. My number eight now, and we move to another new game. A lot of my top 10 is new games because I played quite a few of them this year, but this is one.
Are they all Damien's games?
Partially. They are partially Damien's. Actually. But a couple of them are actually my games as well. This one is a game that I have yet to beat Damien at, and it really annoys the crap out of me. And we've played, and it is great to play online. This is Race for the Galaxy. Yep. And I have not been able to beat him yet, but I'm going to freaking beat
for
him. I'm going to get him. I'm
for like, listeners, it is currently 12 and 0.
Yeah, I'm 0 and 12.
12 and 0.
I'm 0 and 12. It sucks because we've been playing on Board Game Arena quite a lot.
Are you close in the game?
I am.
There
was one game I thought I had him, and he went, nah. And he bought like, Race for the Galaxy is... and actually, I will accredit Race to the Galaxy as one of these games that actually helped make me realize why I like Dune Imperium.
Yeah.
Because it's a game about, it is literally just drawing cards and then playing them. And it is a race to score the most amount of points by playing 12 cards in front of you. Yeah. Once the 12 cards have been played, the game immediately ends. And then we figure out how how many points we have.
It's 12 cards, or there's also a pool of point tokens.
Point tokens that you're trying to produce. If
the moment that pool empties, the game also.
So there's the two conditions.
In-game conditions.
This game also has something which I really started to enjoy, which it has the same choosing mechanic that Terraforming Mars Ares Expedition has, which is I can choose one of five phases. And if I choose that phase, I get a bonus. However, if I choose that phase, Damien also gets to do that phase for free as well. He doesn't get the bonus, but he still gets to do it. So there's a bit of push and pull going, I think Damien's going to produce, so do I do the production to get the bonus, or do I just let him produce and go and spend that money that I wanted over here and still get the production anyway. Oh crap, Damien didn't produce. Frick, I did it wrong. Like, he didn't do what I thought he was going to do.
Yeah, right? It's a good tug of war.
That's the thing. Really the great cool. thing as well, you can play a game of this online, two players, in less than 8 minutes. Like, you can fly Super through this quick. Game.
It's, if you know the rules.
obviously, you need to know the rules. Yeah. But once you do know the rules, it's you very can crack through this game. And that's why we have played quite a few games in person, like in real time, and just knocked them out real quick.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Really cool. I'm gonna get it. I'm gonna get it, ladies and gentlemen. Not today, but someday.
He never got it.
And he never got it. That's right. All right, we're gonna move.
Can we like have a follow up on this?
Yeah,
Don't worry. You will know the podcast will know the day that really, I beat really him in his
quickly.
Game.
There was one of the last times we were playing, I could see what bonus card he was looking for. I had it in my hand. And then at the end of the game, it's like everything gets revealed. It's like, what?
it hurt. I don't hurt easy, but I'm hurt. I was hurt. I'll tell you that much. All right, Ralph, let's move to your number 8.
Yeah, so this game, it's a new entry. It does not have any form of backstabbing mechanic. Well, I guess a little bit. It's not
doesn't
very
contain
common.
Front stabbing, though.
Yeah, there is some fun stabbing. Oh, good. So that is Clank Catacombs.
Yes.
So it's traditional Clank system, except you sort of build the map. So you discover the map as you play. It's different every time. It always reminds you need a bigger table in your house. But, yeah.
Oh my God, we're pushing it that way. Can everyone stop building towards that edge of the table?
Yeah, I know.
Why do you keep going that way?
But yeah, it's awesome. Like, you create these little slides in the cave and you're just trying to steal treasure from a dragon. Like, it's just... very simple game. It just flies. It's one of those games where you draw 5 cards, you play 5 cards. It's just, it flies. Yeah. It's the system. I think they perfected it here.
I think so too, yeah.
Yeah, it's quite good.
Yeah. I think it's the better Clank.
Yeah. Freaking ghosts. Jeez, they
they're fun, but sometimes they don't come up. It depends. Like, I've played a lot of it now. And the solo, like Dune Imperium solo is fantastic as well, but the solo in Clank Catacombs, the same developers, they made a similar app. They made a solo campaign in Clank.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I'm halfway through it. I'll go back and finish it, but it's fantastic. Hmm. It's got a story to it.
Yeah.
Like, they tell you to take specific cards out of the deck and say, this card's guarding this area and things like that. It's pretty awesome.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's
one of those games that, you know, I was surprised how high up I had it on my list, but it was, it's fantastic. I love this game.
Yeah, it surprised me because I remember playing the original Clank when I first met you boys, and I was like, I like Clank, this is good. But then I played Catacombs at another meeting a few months later, and I was like, this is so much better. Yeah, and it was just so very tense and very good.
I've heard Clank in Space is really good as well. I haven't played it, but I do definitely want to dive in and play the Clank Legacy Acquisitions Incorporated at some
Acquisition
point.
Incorporated.
So that's really good too.
Yeah. All right, number 8 for Ralph was Clank Catacombs. All right, Damien, we move to you to round us out on number 8.
I'm maybe making someone unhappy with this being number 8 and it isn't higher up the list. Mage Knight. Sensational game. I
wonder who that would be.
Used to be top 3 game for me. I just don't get to play it enough. That's just the honest truth. But Mage Knight is during lockdown was the game I would have just permanently set up on my desk. I'd play game after game of it. Ralph and I got to play it again recently. Really good.
A lot of fun.
Look, it's as far as I'm concerned, it still is the right balance between sort of deck builder and adventure game. It's just long. You just have to be willing to sit there and play through it. But if you do, it's a highly rewarding game.
Yeah, it's very rules heavy. It definitely rewards the person who knows how to read the rule book properly because it's quite a complicated rule book. I had the pleasure of playing it with you recently and the game just flew. If you have two people that know the rules, it was fantastic.
Yeah, it was really, really good.
Yeah,
love that. All right, that's number 8. Let's move into number 7. Damn. Cracking on.
Hold on, I can't remember. My memory is terrible.
Your memory is terrible.
Number 7 is Mage.
It's the game of memory.
Oh. Yeah.
Memory 7. Snap.
A new entry into my top 10. Should have been in my top 10 last year, and I pulled it out at the very, very last second. Sorry, I just left that for someone.
You did.
It was hanging. It's all right.
It's a bit hard to notice.
John Company's second edition. John Company 2nd Edition, I've spoken about it briefly on the podcast before. It is so far and away outside of the scope of what this podcast is, but it is a sensational game. You are playing members of the
East India British, Trading Company.
British East India Trading Company. And essentially you are representatives of a family where you are trying to basically become the most prestigious family
produce.
More than that, because what you are trying to do is, yes, you're trying to become the most prestigious family. And you are doing that by doing some pretty nasty things.
By exploiting India as much as you can, basically.
The game does actually touch on that. It does openly say this is what the game is about. History, and I'm not going to dive into the history of it. History aside, it was terrible. But it doesn't change the fact that the game does a truly amazing job of representing that in a very honest way while still producing a really, really good game.
I definitely learned things after playing that game.
I highly recommend giving a... I got to give a shout-out to Tom Brewster from Shut Up and Sit Down.
Yeah.
He just released a review on this literally about a week, 2 weeks ago from the time of recording.
Yeah.
It's a 45 to 50-minute video, but the back 15 to 16 minutes, half of it, he basically goes into... This game is like the satire that it provides you, but also whilst telling you about the history and noting that. So we can't do that justice here in our top 10 list, but if you do want to know more about why this game is great, but also why it can touch on this subject and be great, he does a much better job at articulating that. So I'd highly recommend that.
I will just say really, really quickly, mechanically the game is basically, is mostly around negotiation and you are... It's semi-co-op. So what I mean by that is the various families, the various players around the table are working together to try and keep the company afloat and going.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, there will be families that will just start to sort of, their interests will turn and become a lot more selfish. Because in the end, the goal of the game is not to be rich. It's to be prestigious.
You want to retire.
That's right.
With a legacy of your name.
And much like other negotiation games, there are elements of binding trades and agreements and non-binding agreements. The example I come back to often is a game that Ralph and I played. Ralph was well out of the game, but he was rich. And we come into the last round. He basically locked me out of a bunch of deals. He then becomes the chairman, and the chairman essentially is an extremely powerful position. He got to choose how the money was divvied out. He basically told everyone, said, yep, I'm going to give you all the money you need. And then the agreement was a region where he was also the president, which then meant basically, if you think of it as like an org chart, he was both the CEO and one of the directors of
the
particular area.
It was
kind of
like I was the CEO, but my son was the director.
Yeah, so where do you reckon all the money that he promised these other guys went?
No, it got better. He basically, he divvied up the money evenly. He did all that right. But the important part was that we needed this section that he also controlled to be successful in order to pay out the shareholders.
Yep.
He knew very well if the shareholders got paid out, they'd be able to afford to retire properly and he'd lose the game.
Yeah.
So the region that needed to then do their business, he just skipped it all together. He said, yeah, we're not doing any business this round.
So I was fair to the whole table.
Wow. It sounds like our game. It sounds exactly like a game that we want
to
play.
I was very diplomatic. I was fair to all the other players evenly, even myself. And then when it just came to my turn, I was just like, not gonna pull my weight in this company. We're tanking this part of the continent. And it was fantastic.
I only just
lost that game.
Too. Yeah, you did. Yeah.
I love that.
Great game, John Company.
Fantastic. All right, we're going to move to your number 7 now, Mr. Ralph.
Okay, so this one was in my top 10 last year. It has fallen quite a bit. And it's not because of a lack of play. I have played this game in the last year quite a bit. And that is Twilight Imperium 4th Edition.
Mm-hmm.
Still love this game. Still in my top 10 because I love that
game. It was your number one game last year.
It was. Reason being, I played too much of it in a year.
Too much of it?
I played too much TI.
Yeah.
I think I feel that.
I think I've done probably... Because I played a lot online. I played two in-person games in a week. That was really rough. Like... Like, I, you know those guys that were in the cave, like, and they got the Foo Fighters album? That was me. Like, the Foo Fighters got me out of that.
What year is it? This is great, Hagen Ralph. Oh, my God.
I'll tell you what. It's still a fantastic game. I haven't played a lot with the new expansion, but I'll have to can't wait to play in my... like a real life game again, but I think I've got to take a step back from playing online games.
I'm just wondering if someone actually like lowered food to you, like in a plate and a rope. And stuff.
I think I lost weight during that time. Actually, like I didn't snack a lot. Like I think I actually lost weight while playing.
Yeah. Tina's on FaceTime. Come home to us, please.
Yes,
I'm so close to winning this thing.
But yeah, fantastic game. It's still in my top 10.
No, nah, fair enough. And look,
it's your son's third birthday tomorrow. When are you coming home?
You'll have another birthday next year. Oh, yeah. No, fair. Understandable. Okay, we're going to move to my number 7 game, which again is another new game. And yes, it's another Damien game because he's the man with the collection now that introduces. This is another area control game that I have really enjoyed. And this one is Ethnos. This is,
wow.
It's every time we played it and I see it, I'm like, yeah, I want to play that. Like you just have it in your bag. And I'm like, yeah, let's get Ethnos out. And we played it.
Every
and
time we play.
Every time I play. No, it's an area control game where you are, you know, you're trying to collect sets of cards of like different creatures to activate their abilities to over 3 different ages, trying to score in different ages. And it literally is one of those games. Every time that we've played it, the rules upkeep is literally, oh yeah, 5 minutes. Ah, yeah, that's right. Rinse and repeat. Get into it, and then we're playing, and we've finished the game in less than 1 hour and 20. It's like the perfect length, the perfect like crunchiness for what it is. And every time that I've played, I'm just like, I want to play it again. I want to do it again.
The last time we played it, we had 3 new players.
Yeah,
and we knocked it out in an hour.
Yeah, yeah, like yeah. You play it really quick, and we've played it a couple of times at MacArthur Board Gamers.
Yeah,
and the MacArthur Board Gamer nights, like we started this game at 9:30 with 3 new players, and we're done before 11. Yeah. Like it was just
that's great.
It was great. It was
with hot chocolate. Breaks.
Yes, hot chocolate. Yeah, no, not the hot chocolate and bourbon. Was that hot chocolate and bourbon
that
night?
Was hot chocolate and bourbon night. That was rough.
He bought himself a bourbon, and then he's like, "Someone brought over hot chocolate." It's like, "Oh no!" The dichotomy of what I've got in my head.
Did it work?
You got to manage those resources.
No, it did not. Anyway, so that's my number 7 game, Ethnos. It's a game that's it's been out for a while. It does have that kind of classic early 2000s aesthetic of game design, but I really dig it. I think it's a
like
lot of fun
it. It didn't help that the bourbon was so low shelf. Like, it's inside, yeah, and stuff. Yeah. It was pretty bad. It was nasty.
Mostly cordial, not actual bourbon.
Yeah. All right, that was mine, which was Ethnos. Matt, your number 7 game.
My number 7 is a perfect mixture of terraforming and hitchhiking and small box game, and it's Microcosmos.
Yes.
Came to our table this year again. So I have a couple of new ones, but yeah, I really enjoyed unpacking that one once again, as Niba usually does, figuring out 90% of the rules and then the 10% that we missed. Oh man, if we hadn't known that would have changed the whole game. We have to play it again, and then the second time you play it, it's even better. And I think we've once again 3 or 4 times this year already. Yep. So but I love the complexity built in, but also the simplicity of when you're moving your passengers or your crew members around your ship. That little what's the word?
The mechanic of it
really opens the game up.
Yeah, it was that moment of just like we knew we were missing something in Microcosmos, and this the idea of that. Your crew have 2 different levels of action, an okay action and a better action, but you can only activate the better action when they're in the upper deck of your crew quarters. But when they start there, you can start them in the lower deck, and then when they use that action, you can then shift them into a new quarter, and then they can use the better action. Or if you don't have space and you haven't been managing correctly, you may just have to put a crew member in the top deck and only get their top deck action, and they immediately get out. And
if you use it at the wrong time, it can really stuff you.
Yeah, but the way that these crew members activate is you have to go to the appropriate colored planet that matches their action. So this guy is going to be so you're also lining up. I know that if I do this action now, which is all my gray planets, these guys will shift, and then I have the movement to get to this planet so that I can do the red action to do this and rinse and repeat. It's it's one. It tickles your brain in a really, really fun way. And it, I thought, yeah, once we played it that second time with that rule, and look, and I will shout out to the developers, the publishers of this game. They did actually hear our podcast, and they literally said they'd be putting the little rules reference. I said, you know, probably should bold this particular bit, because we found, they're like, yeah, that's the second edition. They will actually be doing that. And
yeah.
So yeah, nice. Affecting change. So Microcosmos, a good seventh pick there. Blake, to number seven, and then back for the end of our first half of the top 10 for number six. So what's your number seven?
Yeah, so this is a new one, which we only played in the last couple of, maybe week, month or so.
Mm-hmm.
Ceres. The board game.
Oh, yes. Brand new, baby.
I actually really enjoyed this game. It's another worker placement that's, you know, making it into my top, but it was just so well done how they did it. You know, it's basically you're trying to fight for these resources, trading these resources and building your sort of engine, as well as trying to fight over these worker placement points on this board. But I tell you what, you know, and I think it's a little bit cheating, but I'm a sucker for a bit of the anything that moves on the
board.
Yeah,
the lazy Susan Rundle thing.
Asteroid belt that they have, where it costs more to get to the back of the belt, but it sort of rotates around. I'm a sucker for that kind of thing.
I love that. Yeah, so Ceres does have this very
Mousetrap on your list this year as well?
Oh, number one. Don't get me started on Mousetrap. I played too much of that this year. My boy just loves to watch that. The amount of times I've had to reset Mousetrap this year. I should have a little clicker. I'd be in the thousands at this point, say that much. No, Ceres is a great game. It does bring a couple of really cool twists to the... it is a midweight Euro sort of style of game. So it's quite... We played it in less than 2 hours. Mm. The rules explanation was less than 10 minutes. We got into it pretty quickly. And it does a couple of things. There's Lazy Susan Rondel, which is really good. So the asteroids change every round. And then some are closer, some are further. So you have to spend ice and fuel to get there if you want to go for it. Or you just... cop and go for the smaller stuff, but it also does give the interesting mechanic, which is it is a worker placement where you have 5 workers that you can play in standard worker placement thing, go to an area and do that. But there is a crew quarters here where it has a shared pool of workers, so maybe like 4 green, 4 blue, 4 red. Okay, if I take one of those red workers, I can put them and on my red tableau of buildings that I'm building and activate my red building. Great, I can do that. So you have a choice now. Do you want to take the standard action with one of your leaders and putting it on, or do I go for the shared resource pool to be able to activate my engine, which will give me more resources to spend when I use my leader to go and do that stuff?
That creates an interesting decision. What is everyone else going to do? Is everyone else going to put their leaders on and take the actual spaces on the board first?
Immediately.
Or are they going to take these shared workers first? Which one's going to be the thing that people are fighting over?
And it is a very interesting decision that you have to make, because it's really fun, because some people will literally load up on resources the previous turn and go, now I'm going to use my worker placement, or vice versa. And we haven't even talked about some of the other stuff they do, but really good, really, really solid, crunchy midway Euro. Really do enjoy it. All right, Blake, let's bring it back home for the number six pick and the end of this first half of this top 10 list.
Yeah, another one that I don't think I've played recently, but I love this game, even though it left a bit of a sour note the last time we played this, which is Northgard Uncharted Lands. This is a sort of a Viking sort of area control game where you're fighting over resources, you know, with your armies on this map that you're trying to fight for control and victory points over. The expansion is where I didn't quite like it as much.
I didn't really like it with the expansion either. Doesn't need it.
But the base game is, fantastic.
What I find with some expansions, the base game is great and you only really need the expansion if you want more. Like not like a must include.
We found with the expansion for this game, we were like, yeah, we definitely want to play the expansion because we want more. And then it added more and we went, we didn't want more.
It's kind of like a movie sequel.
It contains quite a bit of the Dune Imperium style of deck management. So it's like, it's a very small deck. You add a few cards here and there and you do stuff. But, you know, it really was a game of, it's a mixture of dudes on the map. With civ building and a mixture of like deck control and stuff like that. It's a lot of fun. Yeah, Northgard Uncharted Lands is number six for Mr. Blake. All right, Matt, you're number six.
Number six comes from my friends at Facade Games, and it's Tortuga 1667.
Hey, I love that game.
And the good folks at Facade, I think they do some great games. I actually am just going through their new one, Hollywood 49, I think, 1949, I think it is, which looks just as good. But no, Tortuga always manages to come out at family game nights. It's, if we're going anywhere where I'm taking the games, it's always one of the ones I always pack.
Drop down your list. Was number two last year.
Yeah.
But it has, but still in the top 10. The top 10. So that's something to say. I do love Tortuga. Yeah.
Great little pirate game.
Yeah.
Everyone loves a pirate game.
I've been playing a bunch of Bristol lately. Which Tortuga, to me, I like it better. But I feel Bristol creates more moments for people to enjoy.
I think Bristol is good for like the kind of action moments.
Yeah.
Whereas Tortuga is good for stabbing someone in the back and pushing and people around.
I feel like Bristol, you need to have 9 players. Like you need to have max.
I do really like Tortuga. I don't recommend playing it online. There is a BGA, don't play it. It's a game you need to play in person. You need to play it in person. Yeah. I don't recommend it online. But
unless you're playing via Discord or something.
Yeah, so Discord's fine, but you need to be playing in real time. Definitely not async.
The voices matter.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. All right, my number six game is another new game to the list, but it is a game that I do own. It's a game that I've picked up in the past 12 months, and I have played a lot of it. It is a heavy game, and it is Gaia Project. Yeah. It is.
I like how now he's prefacing things that it's a game I own.
Yeah. I owned it after I played your copy, Damien, but I was like, this is one of those games I played, and I went, oh, no, I need to own this game. I really do enjoy it. Gaia Project is a very, very heavy Euro-style game about trying to colonize a galaxy, but not only are you trying to colonize a galaxy, you're playing with very, very asymmetric alien races that do a whole bunch of different things, but the core of it is trying to, you know, get income and then spending income and different resources in different ways. Damien, you've played a lot of it as well. I mean, I'm still trying to capture the magic of my first game when I played as the Money Chickens.
Yeah.
And I've come close, but like converting points at the end of the game, I still suck at, but I still keep coming. I keep throwing myself into the blender because it's something about it. I just really love this game and how all the systems interact.
Yeah, look, it's a cracker of a game. I mean, I think I've played it. I've got to be close to 100 games by now in all the years. And look, it's like Nee said, it is a complex game. There are a number of different resources you are playing with, and those resources can be abhorrently expensive depending on what your alien race is. And the other sort of wrinkle in the game is that your alien race will be very, very good at building on certain types of planets, but it will be poorer on building on some other types of planets. And a large part of the game is just choosing where do you start. Mm. That is such a massive part of the game.
Yeah, you can really screw yourself over. Yeah, because it's happened to me a few times when I realized, oh, I'm in such a bad position because it's so expensive to get away from where I am.
Yeah. So and then on top of that, you have to play to the objectives per round, and then the objectives at the end of the game, which can affect the race you pick and such. I'm not an expert at this. I've played with people who are experts. I have had someone just absolutely thump me by over 120 points in this game. They walked away with like 260 odd points. I've never seen a score like that before.
Wow.
I was fine with that because this person I found out then went and actually won a tournament in Vegas. It's a lady I work with. We played it online.
They have a Gaia Project tournament.
Yeah, this
is next to the poker tables.
she won the whole thing.
This is one of those games that you can get extremely good at.
There's like underground Gaia Projects. Yeah. Like
welcome to Street Gaia Project.
Yeah. What's the difference?
We hope we terraform play it your face on the street. Oh god! Make sure you bring your thermals, okay? get cold out. All right, so Gaia Project, my number six. Ralph, we're gonna go to yours for your number six.
So it's always hard to pick a top 10 games, like, because for me, this game I feel could be just a flavor of the month or so. But it's a game that I kept coming back to, and I've recently added an expansion to Ark Nova. So that's my number six game.
Yeah.
The reason I think it sort of stays in the top 10 is because the new expansions added a lot of asymmetry to it. We've started playing with the different maps. So every player has a different map with different special abilities. You have different cards. So you don't just have the 5 base cards that all do the same thing as each other. You have different ones.
Yep.
And the deck cycles a lot. We played a, for example, we played a three-player game recently, and we got through 60 to 70% of all the cards. So,
oh, wow.
If you're never in that, it fixed that problem where you're like, oh, I really need that last Africa icon to score this Africa objective. Like, it's going to come out.
Mm.
Like, you'll have opportunities to grab that card. So it's the expansion for me has fixed a lot of negatives I had about this game. So I've been playing a lot of it lately, but I think this could be a, okay, I'm going to play a lot of this and then it's going to go back on the shelf for a bit. But yeah, it's been fantastic. So I'm going to put Ark Nova as my number six this year.
Yeah,
great choice. I do really like Ark Nova. It's a lot of fun. Our friend Hamish also really digs it. It's one of his favorite games. He loves it. All right, Damien, round us out here for number six.
I needed a train game. Because my list needs a train game.
How do you do it?
Beep, beep.
Yeah, beep. You got it,
Baby. Yeah, we're on the same page.
Yeah.
Age of Steam. As far as I'm concerned, it is the train game. Even though it could literally be about anything and it doesn't matter because that isn't what Age of Steam is to me. Age of Steam has, by far and away, the most horrible, truly, truly horrendous auction system of any game I've ever played. The way the game works is you are selling shares to your company, and basically there is upkeep with these shares as well. So, and the goal of the game is basically don't go bankrupt.
Okay. By delivering goods from one city to another city. Yes. That's the trick. You just got to deliver goods, and there are goods that spawn on cities on the map.
Sounds now
connect them with your rail. And deliver goods from a city and earn money by doing so.
But the kicker in the game is you have to decide up front how many shares you are going to sell before you take all of your actions. Then the very next thing that happens is an auction phase. You don't know who is going to, if anyone at the table is going to bid for turn order higher than what you are, or at the very least, they're going to bid so much that's going to put you in a position where it's still going to cost you money to then not go first.
Mm.
It is brutal.
It is amazing. To give you an idea, the very first time...
The games that seem to be at that end of the table, it's just, I'm just going to stuff someone up.
To give you an idea, this is how Damien sold me on the game, right? Yeah, he goes, we started playing the game and he said, how many shares do you want to take? And I went, I don't know. How many shares should I take? And he goes, look, if you don't know, just take two. All right. Okay, I'll take two shares. And he goes, congratulations. You're now in debt and you have to make sure that you're, if you don't start making money within the next three rounds, you will go bankrupt. Right. Because the moment that, like, you have to take shares because that's your income, or you have to sell shares to the company because that's your income that you can spend on stuff. But immediately, every turn after that, you're paying interest or upkeep back to the company every turn. So it's like, yeah, you can have $20 right now. Jesus. Great. But if you don't actually start paying it back in three turns, you'll be bankrupt and you're out of the game.
Yeah.
And so, okay. So my very first game of this, I went, I don't care about winning. My goal is just to be in the black. And I was like, out of about eight rounds, round six, baby, I got in the black. I was like, yes. And I didn't care about anything. And then the second game that I've played on it, it's like, round three, baby, in the black. And still the guys are just screaming ahead of me. Like, but I was like, okay, but this is another one of those games you can get really good at. And
For those listening, you probably listen to top 10 and just like pick the meanest games that Damien's ever played and they've made the top 10. It's true. All right. I really, really like those games. Age of Steam is one of those games where you can look at someone during the auction phase and you can just see, because everything is public knowledge. You see how much money they've got and you go, okay, you got $7. My bid's $5. And that's it. And it's going to go, because the decision is they either pass and keep all their money but go last, or they bid six, and then they go, oh, but hold on, and then everyone else passes, and they're going to go, wait, hold on, I'm going second. That means I still got to pay all my six to still go second.
Yeah, you still got to pay all your money.
It's, wow. It can be so rough, that game.
It's, yeah, it's
just nasty people down there.
Yeah,
it's so good.
It is so good. Look, there are hundreds of maps for this game. It is quite literally one of those games that there are people out there that this is the only game they play. Cool. Brilliant. Age of Steam is so good.
Fantastic.
I should tell the audience, we actually do like each other.
Well,
like
yeah.
Debatable.
Well, you know.
Well, like you.
I mean, you have to like me. That's only because, you know.
Damn, I mean, I'm all the way down this end by myself for a reason.
So. All right, so to give you a quick update on the list. So, starting from 10, going back to 6, my list is Hegemony, Tigris and Euphrates, Race for the Galaxy, Ethnos, and Gaia Project. Rouse is Spartacus, Pandemic Legacy Season 1, Clank Catacombs, Twilight Imperium 4th Edition, and Ark Nova Plus Expansions. Blake, yours is Korra, Rise of an Empire, Decrypto, Dune Imperium, Ceres, and Northgard, Uncharted Lands. Matt, yours is Galaxy Trucker, Hansa Teutonica, Touring Machine, Microcosmos, and Tortuga 1667. And Damien, yours is Bus, El Grande, Mage Knight, John Company 2E or 2nd Edition, and Age of Steam. So this is going to be the first of a two-parter. We're going to end this one right now, so we are going to come back. So make sure we're going to launch these back-to-back, though. So, you know, we're going to give you a chance. But thank you for joining us for part one, but come back for part two. It should be in the sidebar right now, and come and watch our top five games. So thank you very much for watching this part one, but we cannot wait to share with you part number two and go through 5 through 1. We'll see you in the next one very shortly.
Bye for now.
Bye.
We never released it.